Okay, so welcome to this last session of talks for today. So first up, we have Paul Jay, who is going to talk about sheltering of deleterious mutations can explain the stepwise extension of recombination suppression on sex chromosomes and other supergenes.
Oh, it's a long title.
So hello, thank you for coming. So it's a pleasure to organize this conference and to have the opportunity to discuss with you and to present my work. So today I would like to present a work I've done during my postdoc with Tatiana, so this is last year and a half, which is about a model of sex chromosome and supergene evolution. As you probably all know, many sex chromosomes display large non-recombining regions with strata of evolutions. And this absence of recombinations have been observed mainly based on XY differentiations, and the studies have found that these differentiations seem to change in a stepwise manner along sex chromosomes, suggesting the presence of strata. For instance, there is this classic example of XY divergence in Chilean Latifolia, and we can see that the divergence between X and Y change as we move away from the pseudo-autosomal regions. More recently, several studies have directly observed chromosomal rearrangement between sex chromosomes. For instance, here between the U and V sex chromosomes in this species of moth, and here between the Y and X chromosomes in the tree-spice stickleback, where we can clearly see three chromosomal inversions, suggesting that the sex chromosomes have evolved in three steps. Moreover, besides sex chromosomes, it seems that other supergenes display strata of evolutions. This is for instance the case for the Microbotrium fungi, as Tatiana presented today, and also in Lycaenus pneumata butterflies and the fire ant supergenes, as Laurent presented this morning. So it seems that in general there is many examples showing that non-recombining regions at sex chromosomes and supergenes seems to expand with time, and several studies have found that this expansion is due to stepwise accumulations of chromosomal rearrangement. So today we have a pretty good understanding on how the sex chromosomes stop recombining, but why is a long-standing question in our field. From the observation of this absence of recombinations, many models have been proposed. So I will not have time to describe this different model, but what I think we can say is that most of these models are poorly supported by empirical data to date, and they apply in very specific conditions. For instance, the model of the sexual antagonistic loci, as well as the model proposed by Thomas, seems to work only with separated sexes, and so can explain the pattern we observe on sex chromosome and UV sex chromosome, on multi-type chromosome in fungi and in UV sex chromosomes. So it suggests that maybe other mechanisms can be involved in the evolution of sex chromosomes and supergenes. So today I will present one of these mechanisms. So this model is based on the same hypothesis as presented by Thomas. So genomes are full of partially recessive mutations, as it has been shown by many studies, and as it is also shown by the pervasiveness of inbreeding depression in nature. And if individuals have different number of mutations, that suggests that if the genome are full of recessive mutations, that suggests that genomes have different number of mutations, which is also true for any chromosome and any segment of a chromosome. Interestingly, we can easily determine the distribution of the number of mutations in a given segment using a simple model. So for instance, considering that all the mutations in the genomes have the same dominance and selection coefficient, we can directly derive the distribution of the number of mutations in a given segment. For instance, here for one megabase segment, we can say that on average, individuals have 20 mutations in these regions, but some individuals have 13 and some others have 10 mutations. Interestingly, in this context, if an inversion occurs, this inversion has approximately 50% chance of capturing an haplotype with less mutations than average. Pardon. Excuse me. So an inversion has approximately 50% chance of capturing an haplotype with fewer mutations than average. This haplotype should be favored, and so this inversion should increase in frequency. Nevertheless, these inversions occur in diploid individuals. One individual that is diploid for these inversions have a fitness advantage because these inversions have a fewer mutations than average. However, the same inversions when it is homozygous is probably counter-selected just because the two deleterious mutations here are expressed. So interestingly, when the inversion increases in frequency, it also increases the frequency of individual homozygous for these inversions. Because these inversions have a lower fitness, it decreases the fitness of the inversions. So when the inversion increases in frequency, it decreases the fitness of the inversions. There is a kind of negative frequency-dependent selection acting on these inversions. And this should prevent this inversion to increase in frequency. We can easily verify this with a simple two-locus, two-allele model in infinite populations. So here in this population, we just introduce a mutation with fewer mutations on average, for instance, 10 mutations instead of 20, and we track the frequency of this inversion during 10,000 generations. What we can see is that this inversion with less mutations on average initially increased in frequency, but rapidly stabilized at a low frequency due to this homozygous disadvantage. So this was for one combination of parameters. We can do this for any combination of parameters. For instance, here is the expected equilibrium frequency of all less load inversions depending on the dominance coefficient and the selection coefficients. And we can see that most of this inversion remain at very low frequency due to this homozygous disadvantage. Now, imagine exactly the same thing, but for an inversion on the Y chromosomes. If this inversion on the Y chromosome captures the male determining allele, this inversion is permanently heterozygous as a sex chromosome, as a Y chromosome is also permanently heterozygous. Because of that, this inversion do not suffer from the homozygous disadvantage. So because of that, the fitness of the inversion on the Y chromosome is not dependent on the inversion frequency, and so there is no negative frequency dependent selection acting on these inversions. So if we introduce the exact same inversion in the same population but in the Y chromosome, we observe that this inversion increases in frequency and fix in the population of Y chromosome. Again, this was for one combination of parameter, and we can test it in different combinations, and we always observe this. So inversion with fewer mutations on average should spread to fixation on the Y chromosome compared to what we see on the autosomes. So this result was with a very simple model in infinite populations. To estimate the impact of drift in this process, I have used individual base estimation with SLIM. So in this case, we have a population with 10,000 individuals. And in these populations, I introduce for each combination of parameters 10,000 inversions on a random haplotype in a random individual. And I track the frequency of these different inversions. So each line here is a trajectory of one inversion. And so you see the many overlapping trajectories. What you see is that many autosomal inversions initially increase in frequency because by chance they have fewer mutations on average, but they rapidly crash. In contrast, what we observe on the Y chromosome is that the many inversions spread to fixation. What I think is pretty interesting to show is also the number of mutations in these inversions. So here, each line is the one inversion, and you have here the number of mutations in these inversions. What we can see is that in both cases, these inversions accumulate mutations due to their effect on the recombinations. So this accumulation of mutation on the autosomal inversions lead to a decrease in the fitness, which explains why they crash and not remain at low frequency. We can also see that the accumulation of mutation on the Y inversions do not prevent to the fixation because it is not rapid enough. And we see that these inversions that are fixed start to degenerate and so accumulate more and more mutations. Again, this was for one combination of parameters, and we have tested with different population size, selection coefficient, dominance coefficient, and many other parameters. And we always observe the same patterns. Y-link inversions are much more likely to fix than an inversion on the sex chromosomes due to the permanent heterozygosity. So here, you have the fraction of inversion fixed after 10,000 generations in the Y chromosome and in the autosome. And you can see that inversions are much more likely to fix. You can also see that more the mutations segregating in the genome are recessive, more likely as a Y-link inversion to fix. So because permanent heterozygosity at the sex-determining loci prevents the expression of the recessive deleterious mutations on the inversions, we should observe inversion to accumulate around permanently heterozygous loci, and so we should observe the formation of strata of evolution. to illustrate this process, I have used individual space-based simulations using a bit more complex model that I will present for the end of this presentation. So in this model, we have, again, 10,000 diploid individuals. Individuals have two pairs of chromosomes. One is a proto-sex chromosome with a single sex-determining mutation at the middle, and the other chromosome is a pure autosome. Individual experiment only deleterious partially recessive mutations. At the beginning of the simulations, I randomly samples a given number of positions that can be used as inversion breakpoints. So at the beginning of the simulation, I select 10, 100, 1,000, or 10,000 putative inversion breakpoints. And each generation, I introduce in the population one inversion in a random individual between two randomly selected breakpoints. So this setup allows two inversions to occur at the exact same positions, and so allow inversion reversions. So really, if an inversion happens exactly, reusing the same breakpoints. However, in this model, we consider that inversion that have been overlapped by another inversion can be reversed, just because this overlapping between inversions create a complex reshuffling of gene order and gene orientation, and is unlikely to result to restore recombinations. So for instance, if you reverse this red inversion, you do not restore the ancestral gene order. You just result in chaos of rearrangement, which is unlikely to restore recombination. So, okay, so let's move to the model. So here is a simulation with 10,000 putative inversion breakpoints. So the top plot displays the inversion frequency every 10,000 generations, and the bottom plot is the recombination rate along the genomes. The inversions are represented by this square. So the position of the square is the position of the inversions, and the height of the square is the frequency of these inversions. So when the square reaches the top of the third plot, that means that the inversion is fixed. So we have here an inversion between position 45 and 55 megabase, and this inversion is fixed on the Y chromosome, so around the sex-determining locus. If we move to the next 10,000 generation, we observe the fixation of another inversion overlapping with the first one on the Y chromosomes, and the accumulation of these two inversions is associated with a suppression of recombination between the X and the Y chromosome. We can see that on the autosome, there is some inversion that spread, but they remain at very low frequency. So at very low frequency, at the end of the simulations, we see the stepwise accumulation of chromosomal rearrangement, which lead to a progressive cessation of recombinations along the sex chromosomes. So with only deleterious mutation, inversions, and one sex-determining mutations, we create a sex chromosome not combined. We do not see in this simulation any reversions, just because with 10,000 putative inversion breakpoints, there is a much higher chance of having an overlapping inversion than an inversion reusing exactly the same breakpoints. If I show you a simulation using a lower number of putative inversion breakpoints, so with here 100 inversion breakpoints, we see some reversions. So this is what you see here, some inversion here get lost after some generations. But at the end, you see that there is more accumulation of inversion than reversions, this is the size of the non-combined regions in megabase at the end of the simulations, depending on the number of breakpoints. And you can see when there is more than 10 breakpoints, the non-combined regions increase in size with time. Only when there is a low number of breakpoints, there is a lot of reversion, and so no extension of the non-recombining regions. So some results about this model. So we have tested in different conditions, and we see that it applies in a very broad range of conditions, and with any recombination suppressor, so not only with inversions. In this model, the deleterious mutation triggers evolution of the sex chromosomes and later the degenerations without involving sexual antagonism, neither any asymmetries such as XY asymmetries. And this model applies to any loci with permanently heterozygous allele, and so can explain why we observe large non-recombining regions at mating type loci, at some meiotic drivers, and also at some supergenes, such as the ones that control wing pattern polymorphisms in Heliconius pneumata. Based on this model, we can have some expectation regarding the size of the non-recombining regions in nature. So we show that this model works faster in low population size, just because inversion fixes faster in small populations, and this lower time to fixations allow the fixation of inversion before the degenerate. So the fixation occurs before degenerations in small populations. And we can also show that this works faster in population with a high mutation load, just because this creates a larger fitness distribution of inversion upon the formations. And finally, we also suggest that this model probably applies mostly to biallelic systems, and is probably much slower or ineffective in multiallelic system, just because in multiallelic system, degenerated allele can be lost, which is not the case in biallelic systems. And to finish, I just have to say that we provide a lot of data in the preprint, and the paper is just accepted, so it will be published soon. And I would like to thank all the people involved, so especially Emily Tezenas, Tatiana Giraud, and Amandine Weber, and all the people we discussed with about this paper. And thank you for your attention.